From WGCU, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. There are places in the world where people tend to live longer, where you'll find more people over 100 years old, and 80 and 90-year-olds as healthy as those 10 to 20 years younger. These places are called Blue Zones, and Southwest Florida is taking steps to become one. We'll hear how the local Blue Zones project hopes to achieve this, and we'll talk to one company that's incorporating healthy lifestyle choices into its workplace. Plus, a local farmer is working to bring a humane meat processing facility to our area. It'll be the only one of its kind in the state. We'll hear from the owner of Circle C Farms in Felda and Bonita Springs about the project and find out how small-scale farmers currently deal with the lack of facilities in our part of the state. Plus, we'll hear from a local teaching chef about the benefits of locally sourced ingredients and how you can incorporate them into your life this season. First, the news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. With the proliferation of small local farms, it quickly became evident that our area lacks a place to transform livestock into sellable meat. As a part of the food circle few are excited to talk about, but slaughtering animals for meat does happen, and it varies from facility to facility. And with very few, even in our area, one local farmer is stepping up to build what is considered a humane processing facility. Nicole Cruz with Circle C Farms in Felda, out near Immokalee, is in the studio with us today to talk about that project. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Also in the studio today is local foods advocate and teaching chef Christina Sanfilippo from the Purple Spoon Culinary Hub in Bonita Springs. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We are talking about getting food locally, not just fruits and veggies, but also locally raised meats. If you have questions or comments, give us a call at 877-428-8255 or at 877-GCU-TALK, Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Nicole Cruz, tell me a little bit about Circle C Farms as it is right now.
Well, we have two farms. Mm-hmm. We actually have a farm in Bonita, which is open to the public, which has our farm store on it, and our laying hens. And then our farm in Felda, which has about 130 acres, is where we have our larger livestock. And so right now we're growing and raising 100% pasture grass-fed free-range chickens, turkeys, beef, lamb, and pork, and heritage pork, which is very unique down here in South Florida.
Yeah, and heritage, I want to talk about that later, but right now for your meat, how are you processing that?
Well, we have to, for our red meat, which would be our sheep and our pork, our beef, our lamb, and our pork, mm-hmm. we have to take that to another facility off-site. And so we have to travel about an hour to 2.5 hours, depending on which facility we're going to utilize.
But your poultry you can do.
Absolutely. Our poultry, we have the benefit of our USDA permit, and we're able to harvest all of our poultry, which includes our turkey and our chicken, on farm under that permit.
So what does it do to an animal when you have to drive it 1 to 2 hours away before it is processed? And also tell me about the places that you have to take them. Are they ones that – are they the same kind of place like you would like to have or –
They're similar to what we will have.
Okay.
I think a lot of it has to do with the way the animals are handled. And so when we transport our animals to one of those two facilities, we take the time and we travel at various times of the day to reduce any heat and anxiety and stress and to avoid as much traffic as possible. And that way it reduces the stress on the animal, because the intention is to spend all of the time and the energy that we do to raise an animal in a way that is natural for them and ethical and humane, and to get them to a facility that's going to then continue just simply the harvesting process, which is going to allow for a nice quality, robust flavor in our meats. And so when we do that, and right now we're traveling with them and reducing any type of stressors. That way there isn't an impact in adrenaline jumps, which would impact potentially the flavor of the meats.
I've seen studies about that, that scientists have seen that adrenaline jumps because of stress in an animal mm-hmm. will affect the quality of the meat.
Yes. Yes. And so we do everything to mitigate that.
And that's why you want to do this processing facility at your place.
Correct.
And
correct.
You're planning to do this.
We are. As a matter of fact, we have had our approval for a couple of months from USDA, and we have our preliminary inspection number. So we're super thrilled. We're just in the process of finalizing some funding items and putting together all of the regulatory HACCP plans and SSOPs and all of those pieces and to have in place.
Christina Sanfilippo, you've been advocating for local food products for years, and there's been a tremendous progress that's happened just lately. Tell me how you incorporate these local products at your teaching kitchen at the Purple Spoon.
Having something that's grown so close and travels such a short distance, the quality is impeccable compared to what you're going to get out of a box that's dropped from a big truck that pulls up from who knows where, or for a regular everyday customer who has to go to the grocery store. So if it's leaving a farm, if it's produce and it's being picked that morning, it's being transported to a market and you can buy it there, take it home, the flavor is there, the integrity of the texture is there. Obviously, the nutritional value is so much better. When it comes to the meats, same applies. What's the big thing with the meats is that it's not going to have such a massive carbon impact on the entire ecosystem. We're not traveling. We're not keeping it refrigerated. We're not storing it.
Oh, so you're – and then do you notice a difference in meat that has been humanely processed versus – not.
Absolutely. Yes. You can feel it in the texture. The texture is definitely different. So if I get a large hunk of sirloin out of a cryovac package from whatever big box company, the texture of it when it's on my cutting board is definitely different than if it's something coming from a close by farm, if it's coming from Circle C, if it's coming from Three Sons up in Punta Gorda. It's a softer texture. And I'm also finding that the flavor is much more intense, especially when you get the bones on the meat and you actually work with the whole product together.
So when this facility comes online, this is going to make a pretty big impact for chefs like you.
Yes. Well, the availability, the fact that we can call and say we need this cut and they can actually make that change, it hasn't been already pre-cut. Like if I have a certain shape, size, or expectation or mix of different items from one animal that I really wanted to for a dinner or for a dish, I can call, talk to the person who actually runs the place and knows what's going on and have that connection and say, can you please do this for me? And lovely, they do. It's a really nice relationship. We're all, you know, supporting each other. But having that immediate return means it's not sitting in storage. It's not losing its own texture or integrity. And it's going to show on the actual plate.
So, Nicole, there seems like there are a lot of smaller farmers in our area, and It seems more and more every year. Are these going to be people that can use this facility as well?
Yes, absolutely. Our approach and our need to have the on-farm, both red and white meat inspected facility, and when I say inspected, I mean would be under inspection of the USDA. So we'd have a USDA inspector there for anything that we're going to be looking to sell to the public. The other side of that is we have the ability to do custom. So local farmers in the area, families, small farmers who have a handful of chickens or a couple of cows or, you know, a handful of pigs, and they would like – they've raised them and spent all that time and that energy doing that over months or a year. They're able to bring that animal to us and have a custom harvesting that's done both ethically and humanely and be able to go through a cut sheet and have – exactly what they would like done with their animal through the harvesting process as far as cuts and things like that handed right back to them in a matter of days.
As it is now, that's just not really an option?
There are a handful of a small number of custom facilities in the area. I just think that, and based on my research and the other farmers in the area that have called and contacted us, there's not enough. And there's the way we do things, and because we handle so many species and we raise them in the fashion and the manner that we do, not only is it appreciated by the chefs, but it's appreciated by others who shop with us at the farm store. So they've noticed that cuts are done and they're personalized. They've noticed that the way the animal's handled in the pre-harvesting component affects the flavor and benefits and feeds into the flavor of the animal that they're getting out from just the harvesting component. So small farmers are going to be able to have the animal that they raised harvested in a way that they're going to be able to get back in a cryovac bag all of their animal to utilize for the next several months. So
tell me what makes this facility humane. How is that different from other types of facilities?
Well, in your larger commercialized facilities, everything's about speed and production. because there's always that push, 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 time is money, got to get it done, got to get it done. Well, in our case, even with the poultry that we harvest on the farm, everything's done by hand. So as we're harvesting our chickens and our turkeys, everything's handled in a soft and gentle manner. Nothing's rushed through. We don't use any cattle prods. We don't use any of the tasers. We don't use anything like that in any way to put that animal in a position in which they're just anxiety-ridden and stressed. So when an animal will be dropped off at our farm, they're going to be allowed to have settling time. It's not going to be drop them off, run them through the chute, harvest them, and then, you know, move through that process. The animal's going to have enough time to settle and relax so that, as we talked about, you don't get that adrenaline jump in that animal. You're going to end up with the flavoring in the meat that you're really looking for, just like we currently do with all of our poultry.
Yeah. Christina, can you tell me a little bit about the clean meats philosophy? I know that I've heard you talk about it before.
Well, it definitely starts with how the animal's raised and the land it's raised on. So you can't just put a cow, a pig, a sheep out on grass and say, go for it. You have to make sure that the grass is providing nourishment for the animal. You have to make sure that there's not a chemical contamination on that land. If it is, it's in the grass, and the grass is going to go into the animal, and that becomes part of its meat. So the environment, the actual feed that that animal gets, is it appropriate to the animal? Most of our animals we harvest for our food consumption, we need them to eat grass. There are some, like pigs, that can benefit from eating a variety of foods, and they need to forage. And same with chickens. They need to go eat bugs. That's what they should do. That's their job in this world, is to eat some bugs.
I always wondered about when they call it vegetarian eggs.
Yeah, it's actually not a good thing.
That poor chicken would just love to have a bug.
It would. It really does. If you let them outside and let them go follow the cows and break up all the little patties that fall and do their job and open up the ground, it's a great rotation system. These animals will take care of the earth and take care of each other, and it provides an amazing flavor in their production. If it's their eggs, if it's their meat. Also, you let these animals go eat grass, you get some green stuff in their diet, and they're producing all the high omega-3 fatty acids, which makes the meat and the fat in the meat not only taste good, but it's good for us. So that's where the clean meat is coming from, that the animal's living a clean life. It's not being given any antibiotics. It's allowed to live its natural environment, so its immune system stays strong. Therefore, the animals don't get sick, and you don't have to get them medications. They're harvested in a painless manner so that you don't get a burn on the meat, which is often what we kind of call it, because it does literally burn the meat. And then it's handled appropriately, that it is packed and transported to be used quickly and not sitting in a freezer somewhere for a year and a half.
We are talking about locally raised foods. Does it matter to you where your food comes from? We'd like to know. Give us a call at 877-428-8255 or 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Christina talked about it a second ago, about that cycle and that rotation. And I wanted to ask you about the rotation on your acreage out there with all the different animals that you have.
Well, and it's interesting that you mention that, because I think that is really important, and people don't realize there's a lot of preparation and thought that goes into the farming and agriculture. We follow a Serengeti rotation, which is large to small animals. So we will typically run our cattle and our sheep together, and because that's – they eat different grasses at different levels. So we're able to facilitate the ground and the grasses by having both different species on it at the same time. Then once the cattle and the sheep are rotated to the next pasture, once they've eaten it down to a certain level, we'll then move the mobile chicken coops through and the mobile turkey coops. So you have the chickens and the turkeys now naturally fertilizing, which is what Christina was referring to. And so on our farm, we do not use any antibiotics or hormones for the animals because we don't need them. We don't use any fertilizers and pesticides because we don't need them. So with the poultry coming behind the larger species, you have a natural breaking down and utilization of the farm love that the cattle and the sheep leave behind.
And then, oh, I think I know what we're talking about.
Yes, yes, that exactly that.
Very important part.
The form loaf. And then the turkeys and the chickens go through, and they do eat the bugs. They eat the grasses. They eat the weeds. They're able to break everything down. And then once they rotate off there, we allow the grasses to grow back up, and then we'll mow to continue to keep that healthy balance. And we're fortunate on our farm because not only do we have bahia grasses, and we're on an old grove that hasn't had anything on it for probably 40 years as far as any type of chemicals. So we really have organic soils. But we're also able to take advantage of the fact that we have a good relationship with Fort Myers Brewing Company. So we get their organic barley and oats, and we get a couple thousand pounds of those a week. And so we're able to reduce our carbon footprint, again, reducing waste, but also we have very happy, mellow cows and sheep because they're, depending on what's brewing at the brewery, that's what they're going to get. In the
they're having some gateway gold, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, they're able to enjoy that, which is a really healthy grain, but not in the context of feedlotting, which is what traditionally a lot of the livestock is exposed to. And ours are completely pasture grass fed with the treat of the spent grains. So you're getting that flavoring as well, and you're getting those proteins. So they're getting the fiber from the grasses, the proteins from those spent grains. And it's a real, it's a good balance for the flavoring in the meats.
When I was poking around your website, I think it was, I found about your sheep. Mm-hmm. And there's one sheep that you use in part of the breeding, which is called a Florida cracker sheep?
Correct.
Is that the same as the Gulf Coast sheep?
It's a little bit different.
A little bit different. Okay, tell me about that. I think this sheep is so interesting. The Gulf Coast sheep I know is on the Ark of Taste for Slow Food International, so it's a protected species. Mm-hmm. But it's just so unique. Tell me about these sheep.
Well, what we've actually done is created our own breed. We actually have foundation for second and third generations on our farm as of this year. And what we did is we went and looked for a Florida cracker ram. So we have a ram that's the sire of all of the babies on our farm. And what we did is we sought that out because with the Florida cracker, having and been native to the Florida area for 200 or more years, they are parasite resistant. They don't have foot issues. They've got all of these amazing natural immunity features, I guess would be the best way of saying it. So they're pretty low maintenance. We do not do any vaccinations of our sheep because the genetics and the bloodlines are so superior that we don't have the need for it. So what we did is we crossed the Florida cracker ram with a handful of our Katahdin and white Dorper ewes. And in doing that, we have actually created an opportunity, and that's where it comes back to our own breed, our own line of sheep that need absolutely nothing other than the opportunity to rotate between pastures and a stress-free or low-stress environment in order to create a meat that is absolutely out of this world. It's a beautiful pink red meat. It cuts with a serrated butter knife. The flavor is fabulous, and it's nothing like a lot of Americans are used to having for an American lamb.
And, like and it, a lamb chop, right?
Correct. No matter what the cut is, it's the flavor. You're getting that soft, gentle flavor, not only of the lamb, but of the grass component, but you're not getting a very rich, heavy lamb flavor that I think many people have been exposed to that often turns them off.
What I often hear is people use the word gamey with lamb in a very bad way.
Yeah.
And it actually came up, I think, last night with somebody about your lamb from your farm doesn't have that. It is a lighter texture, but it has intense flavor, and it doesn't have any of that bad gaminess. Mm-hmm. That will definitely be on our menu when you come in to do the dinner with us.
We were just talking in the Blue Zone Project thing earlier about plant-based lifestyle where they treat meat as a special thing.
Yes.
And instead of just taking for granted it's going to be part of every dinner. So, Christina, do you find that when you're talking with people in your classes and stuff and you're telling them about the meat, do you think they become more conscientious about how much meat they're consuming and where it comes from?
It's what I'm aiming to do.
Nobody really wants to talk about it really that much. Nobody likes to talk about how it used to be an animal at one point.
Yes.
It didn't just come on styrofoam with saran wrap on
it. Right. And my theory with what my job is as a as a chef, as an instructor, is I give everyone the reality. It's not always the most pleasant conversation, but it's my job to go out and find out where our food's coming from, what the truth is behind our food production, and tell people. They need to understand what it takes to get a carrot on their plate. They need to understand what it takes to get a lamb chop on their plate because it is a complicated system. It really is.
And then there's always the pushback of people saying, if I buy stuff locally, if I buy something that's organic, it costs more.
It actually costs less. When I buy produce from Inyoni or from 12 Seasons, both within a 40-mile radius that I work with on a weekly, daily basis, I spend at least a third less on my produce that I get from them, and I get almost 100% yield. Same with the meats. When I buy meats from Circle C or from Three Sons Ranch, I am paying less per pound than I would be if I was buying through one of the big companies. So it's actually not more expensive. And I hear it all the time, organic's more expensive. Going to the farm market is just a pain in the butt. It's going to be more expensive. It's not. It's, you know, make an outing out of it. Make friends with the farmer.
I wanted to ask you about the farmers markets, though, too, because sometimes you'll go there and you'll see a product of chili on the side of a box. So
yes.
How do you make sure that the farmers market that you're going to is actually having stuff that's local?
My best way I describe it or instruct people is go to the market, walk up to a table if it has something on it that looks of interest to you, and ask them, where did this come from? Did you grow this? If it's a tomato, ask them, did you grow these tomatoes? If they did, they will give you stories. They will talk about their kids running up and down the fields. They will talk about what it took to get through the summer with the storms. They will tell you about how many pounds of tomatoes went to the chickens. If they don't give you a story, they didn't grow it.
Probably not.
They didn't.
See product of chili on the side.
Yes. The little PLU stickers. Yeah. Hint, hint. Not local.
No offense to chili. So ask your people. Talk to the people that you're
at the
farmers
markets. They'll take pride in it. They'll tell you these stories.
Can you tell us what is in season now?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So at our market yesterday, so every Wednesday at Purple Spoon, we have a market inside the store. It's 3 to 6. It is our produce market, but I have meats available too from our local farms. And then if you have time, you run over a mile and a half behind us and go visit Circle C's farm stands. It's all one-stop shopping. But it's so everyone was getting their holiday plans put in motion. We had yesterday at least 25 different items to shop from. On the citrus element, we had two types of tangerines, pomelos, beautiful strawberries. We only had 4 pints, but at least the 4 people who got them were really happy.
So we have strawberries are just now starting?
Just now starting. And now they'll keep going strong for about the next 4 months, if we're lucky, if the weather cooperates. Tomatoes, we must have had at least between the two farmers 10 different varieties of tomatoes, everything from tiny cherries up to the big, beautiful heirlooms. Lettuces, 2 types of kale, beautiful carrots, both orange and purple. Radish of every color you could imagine, Amara greens. We had tons of herbs. Escarole.
Is there seasonality to meat?
No, not in our case.
Okay,
we're fortunate that here in South Florida we are able to grow and raise our livestock year round, including all of our poultry. So we've worked very hard to make sure that we have created an environment that works in the hotter and hottest seasons that we have in Florida. Yeah, we have 3 seasons, hot, hotter, and hottest. So we're very careful about that. So during the summer, we make adjustments in our mobile coops in particular so that we have our numbers change to make sure that we have extra space for them for the heat.
So you're kind of scientifically a year-long planner of breeding time now so that we have this happening then?
Correct.
And then they come – because I know in Italy, correct, January was when pork was happening. I know that they always waited until the winter for that. So we don't have to do that here.
Well, and correct. And we've not had an issue. We've brought on more laying hens because on our Bonita farm, we have all of our laying hens. And so to meet the need, not only with at the Purple Spoon and with Chef Christina here in her classes, but for the students that come from her class right over to our farm store to either pick up meats and eggs, we want to make sure that everything is there available year round. And so we've worked with to make sure the environment is accommodating to the animals, again, reducing the stress, impacting the quality of the eggs or of the meats.
Although I think by September we're all stressed by that weather.
Yes, we are.
We are all stressed.
In the rain. In the rain.
Don't harvest me in September. I am stressed out.
Okay.
What are you going to have for the holidays?
Well, I actually, we have set aside a 20-pound turkey that we just harvested.
That's a big one.
We just harvested yesterday. So we had some specifically set aside for the Christmas holiday in addition to the Thanksgiving holiday that we had. And then we also have one of our suckling pigs.
I wondered what that array available.
You can just... We're advocates of all of the produce, but I'm very heavy, very much a carnivore. So I start with my proteins in the morning, and then I follow it up with some moringa and some of our honey later.
Oh, I love the eggs.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that for sure. Well, we have to leave it there for today. I'd like to thank you for coming in today, Nicole Cruz with Circle C Farms, Christina Sanfilippo with Purple Spoon Culinary Hub. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith and directed by Richard Chin Kui with technical help from A.J. Leonard. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. Tomorrow on Gulf Coast Live, when it comes to the welfare of Florida women, the Sunshine State gets a D+. That's according to a statewide report that looks at education, poverty, health, and more. How did Southwest Florida fare? We'll break down those numbers. Plus, it's one of the highest honors in the world of wine. A Naples wine expert is now a certified level 3 sommelier. He'll talk about the growing world of wine in our area and what you can serve alongside your holiday meal or turkey. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.
Look at all the cows in the slaughterhouse yard. Gotta hit them in the head, gotta hit them real hard. First you gotta clean it, then the butcher cuts it up, throws it on a scale, throws an eyeball in a cup. Saw a big brain of steer standing right over there, so I wrestled up a fire, kept a medium rare. Barbecued his brisket, roasted his rump, fed my dog to the brain of steer's hump. Eat steak, eat a big old steer. Eat steak, do we have one here? Beef, 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 it's a mighty good food. It's a great A meal when I'm here.